Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, what's up? Dr. Tom here, and you're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 27. Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. How are you guys doing? Have you been following your New Year's resolutions still? I recently sent out a newsletter about this and how we can refocus through gratitude. Guys, if you're not subscribed to The Positivity Effect newsletter and you'd like to be, please head over to positivityeffect.com and you can sign up right on the homepage. I drop a lot of knowledge, and the listeners that have connected so far have told me they've gotten a lot of value out of it. Today I have Michael Unks on again, and if you didn't listen to yesterday's interview with him, please check it out. Michael is such an enlightened individual, and it's just an honor to have him on again. Today we talk a little bit more about gratitude and what that looks like in his life, as well as some of his thoughts on being an author and what that really looked like when he wrote his first book. We also talk about his latest book, The Gym of Life, which is so awesome. I picked up a copy today from Amazon. Check him out, michaelunks.com. Okay, let's jump right into it. Hey, Michael, what's up, man? Back for day two.
Thanks for having me again, Tom. I'm grateful.
Awesome. I like that. I'm grateful. That's how we're going to kick it off today. When I say the word gratitude, what comes to mind, man?
There's just so many things. I wake up in the morning, and that's a daily practice for me, just to focus on what I'm grateful for, that I have my faith in God, that I have my health, I have a job, I have my family, I have my friends, and it really just takes a handful of things. I'm just overwhelmed with so much joy and happiness that all these little things in my life, all the problems that people probably think they're just big deals, they just wipe away, and I feel I'm just constantly happy because I focus on what I'm grateful for.
So powerful. And like talking yesterday about your experience, like that was really awesome to hear about that, you know, because even I don't know if I would ever be a speaker on stage, maybe one day, you know, I've never thought about it, but not in the terms of that I'm actually going to go do it. But how I have thought about it is I've had those negative thoughts. I've had those emotions that, you know, people have of, no, like it couldn't be me. Like, I don't think I have it in me. You know, I don't think I would be able to get out there. And just to hear your story of how all it really came down to was just like, I am so happy to be here. You know, I'm so grateful to do this. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, people are receiving this message because you're not up there to just, you know, to have an ulterior motive. It's powerful.
I know. And I try to control my emotion a little bit because it's become a ritual every time I've gone up. I just, you know, I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I just think about all the times in the beginning where I got all these no's. And whenever I get that opportunity, it doesn't matter if it's a handful of people in the audience. I just think about how grateful I am that I'm able to do what I love doing. And then I start to tear up a little bit. And but I go out there and I'm definitely not nervous, or I'm not thinking about how I'm going to screw up. I'm just focusing on being able to do what I love and maybe make a difference in someone's life.
What has been like the best experience that you've had so far getting up in front of people and talking to them?
Well, I'd have to say my one talk I had about my first kiss, how I explained how awful it was, how she leaned in and kissed me, and then she told me that I was terrible and I had to work on it. And yeah, but the crowd seemed to love it because I transitioned to deliberate practice, and I talked about all the four steps I used to become a better kisser, and I felt like it got a good reception. It was people were laughing, and it went exactly the way I pictured it in my mind. So I was very happy with that last talk I did.
And you know, everybody probably has thought about that. You know, everybody's probably been like, man, I'm not good at kissing. You know, like everybody wants to believe they're a Casanova, you know, and, you know, I think that's definitely something that we all need work in, you know?
Yeah, and that's something I've found is just amazing. It's just the self-deprecating humor, just to kind of tease yourself a little bit. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's a sign of confidence, and a lot of people can connect with you because they're like, "Oh, okay, he makes a lot of mistakes, and he's not perfect, just like me. But he's not letting it affect him, and he's still happy, and he's still confident. He's like, maybe I can do that too." And it's all these things that we worry about, all the things that are wrong with us, and a lot of times those imperfections make us stand out, make us authentic.
Yeah, the imperfections, like we were talking about yesterday, the failures, like you can look at failures as just, you know, as pain, you know, or you could look at them as like actual, like tangible information in your master plan of your life of, all right, let me look at this. Let me objectify it and say, all right, that didn't work. Let me adjust, make a little tweak here and move forward and try again.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if someone says you suck or you're awful, just maybe you can ask them why they feel that way and they tell you and just take emotion out of it. Just say, okay, well, how can I use this to benefit me, to become better? And as long as you're just focusing on improvement instead of the emotional aspect of, oh, are they going to reject me or am I worthy of their love or whatever, as long as you focus on the right things, you'll use it to your advantage. You'll just be able to keep going after what you want, even if failure and rejection meets you, and just continue on the path that you know you should be.
That's so true. And, you know, like thinking of that thought about when you ask somebody that, and maybe, you know, they're very honest and they say, oh, you know, you suck, or like, you know, that that's how they feel about you, or they say something about your body image, or they say something about your personality, something that just hits home. You know, how powerful, I mean, how important is it also, like, to, we have to think about it, we have to process that information, but also not like be so quick to run to somebody that maybe is very close to us and get the immediate gratification that they think we're good, you know? Because I think that could become like a very, you can get stuck in that wheel of like, as soon as something bad happens, you need the good from somebody else.
I've noticed that. And I've tried to veer off from sharing my ideas with family members because a lot of times they don't give me any feedback. They're not honest with me. They say what I want to hear pretty much. And if I really want to get better, I need to reach out to people that maybe would buy my product or want to listen to me, have no connections with me outside of what I'm doing. And those are the people I should be listening to because, I mean, my mom's going to love me no matter what, pretty much. You know, you need to ask other people.
Right. She's going to listen to every episode of my podcast. So talking about your product, so you have you are an author, Michael. It's a really, you know, it's a powerful word to say that because it's not an easy task to sit down. It's, first of all, you have to be very organized, you know, and especially you're working a full-time job, my friend, and that's no easy feat to be able to write a book on top of doing that. And then, you know, going out and speaking and giving talks, you know, and planning those talks. And so that's really powerful. So let's talk about that first book and like, where were you mentally when you started and how did you really prep yourself to do it? And, you know, how did you have to lay that process out so you were able to really complete the book?
Well, honestly, it started around the time I started making all these changes because they're radical and they're rapid. I mean, almost within a month, I was a completely different person. I spent the 10 years just being the quiet guy, never talking. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting in the middle of the classroom. I'm talking to 20, 30 people at a time and just had confidence. And just I'd go up on stage. I'd be able to speak and with, you know, without saying or mumbling, anything like that. And just people just started asking me, just what happened to you? Like, you're a whole different person now. And I pretty much explain all the things I went through with that 1 month I spent with my teacher that gave me that Zig Ziglar CD and how I started having goals and, you know, I started changing what I focused on, my mental mindset.
Would you say that teacher was like one of the number one mentors in your life?
Definitely, because years ago, my father gave me a book from Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I just had a stigma towards self-help. I just looked at it. Oh, look at that. Look, it's a fantastic book. But at that time, I looked at it as something for weak people. And, you know, if somebody saw me reading that, I'd be embarrassed. But that's not it. I've realized the people that are using that stuff are wanting to better their lives and, you know, become successful. So those people are the ones that end up doing things with their lives because in their spare time, they're looking at things that are inspirational, positive to build themselves up so they can give more. So I've definitely changed my focus, and it was mainly because of this guy, because he was so happy and positive. He was a full-time pharmacist. He had his own business. He was married, had kids. He had all these different things, and life just seemed great. And I just was thinking, well, if he's reading that book, then I want to read it too.
That's awesome. So now, you know, so you started having all these mental shifts and like just massive, massive changes in your life and positive changes. And, you know, you just had to, you were itching, you know, biting at the bit. You had to get it out there. So now you have all these thoughts, you know, and all these ideas. How did you finally start to organize it to get it into a book?
I started writing the book about 8 months after I had that experience with my teacher. And pretty much every day I just played through everything that happened that month because I was just amazed. I wanted to change so bad my whole life. And then it was just all these simple things that he told me and all the little action I took. I felt like I was dreaming. So I really was playing all the moments in my life, and they were just so crystal clear. So honestly, when I sat down to write it, I was just like, okay, start with day one. And then I just did the highlights, and I went day two, and I just did that whole month kind of as a like an autobiography in that book. So it was actually relatively easy, because I just relived the moment so many times in my head.
It's yeah, like you weren't like, you didn't sit down and say, all right, I want to write a book. And then you were just staring at a blank paper. Like, there was so much motivation from the changes you had in your life that it was like, you had to probably have somebody stop you from writing, because it was just so much that you had to write about.
Right. Yeah. My grandma edited my first book. She was a former college English professor.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she was just telling me I just had too much, and when I published it, I just like, oh, I didn't put this part and this part here. Like in the future, I'll talk about it in future talks, but there was just so much I learned that month, and I was just convinced I could not change. And if I could change someone else that really wanted to change as well, if they can just hear that story and hear all that I've done, they would realize, wow, maybe it wasn't that hard, or maybe I don't have to give up. Maybe there is something more to life than just simply existing.
That's awesome. And the book, it's called 1 Month Willpower, A Simple System for Life-Changing Transformation.
And yes, sir.
It's like exactly what you went through. And, you know, I have similar experiences too. Like I'm also, one of my passions is I write songs on the side, and I have a couple of songs that I've written. And for me, like as a songwriter, I can't just like sit down and say, I want to write a song today. You know, it has to really like happen in the moment. And then like, once it hits me, I'm like, guys, I got to clear my schedule. I'm not going out. I got to cancel everything. Cause it's just, it's there. And like, you have to run with it really when it happens. And you picked the perfect time. Like instead of like waiting 2 years and writing the book, you were like, I am in the middle of this right now. I'm experiencing this. Let me write about it. Let me reach more people.
Yeah, because I was thinking, I was getting out of school and I signed a contract. I was going to start my job the following week. And all I was thinking was, well, this is the perfect time to do it. I need to stop waiting, because there's always going to be something in the way. And I remember starting writing that book at 12:31 in the morning. And the following day was my licensing test for my pharmacy exam. And honestly, I felt like I should have been studying for that. It was the biggest test of my life. But I just kept thinking, you know, I want to do it. I'm done putting it off. Now is the perfect time. I don't care. At least do something. And I spent 3 hours. I think I wrote, you know, 5,000 words down. And wow. I just had such a feeling of accomplishment, knowing that, you know, it was probably the most inconvenient time. But a lot of times that's when you need to do it. If you want to do something with your life, take action immediately.
And you took immediate action and you got it out there. And something really awesome, you know, is that all the proceeds for the book went to the Wounded Warrior Project. And man, that's awesome. And so what's the connection, you know, like for you? Like, and I think with businesses today, that's so powerful. Like we have to, you know, we have to look to build a viable business, but also how else do we also give back to the world, you know, and connecting, like for you, like writing this book and connecting it with a great resource like the Wounded Warrior Project, you know, what's that connection for you?
Well, first off, my brother served in the Air Force, and I had two of my best friends have served as well. But mostly it's just, I feel I'm so blessed to be an American, to have the freedom to be a pharmacist and be a motivational speaker, pretty much just have the freedom to do whatever I want. And it's largely because of these men and women that are making these sacrifices each and every day. And although I'm not serving, I felt I had to do something, and I know it's very small, but I felt like I needed to just do something, and giving the proceeds to me was a no-brainer to the Wounded Warrior Project.
If anybody you know, when they download this episode, if the only thing they get from this episode is what you just said about the freedom that we have, you know, and specifically your story of working full time and then having this opportunity to also be an entrepreneur. Like, there is nothing that we as Americans really can complain about, you know. Now there's definitely people that are in situations that are always worse off than us, no matter what. But there's also people that are better than, you know, they're in an even better state because they started at a really difficult time and they knew that they were living in one of the best countries in the world and that they had the opportunities to go out and give it their all and create something or find a job of their dreams and reach for that. And I think that we never have to forget about the people that sacrificed for this country and, you know, are able to give us this life. You know, like, for me to sit here and interview you, Michael, on the Positivity Effect, and, you know, there's places in the world that this is not even possible. And it's so easy, definitely, I think, to forget. You know, we're talking about all these amazing goals we have and stuff, and it's just so easy to forget that the medium, the country that allows us to do these things, it's really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I had a moment a couple months ago that really transformed how I view the world. I was holding a glass of water and I was about to drink it. But before I did it, I thought, there's someone across the world that has the same glass like this, but they're wondering if it will kill them because it'll give them severe diarrhea because of these parasites. And I never think of how grateful I am that I have clean water, that I'm hydrated, that I have my own apartment. All these little things we take for granted. But now I focus on just about all of them, and it makes it very hard to complain. I'm going to say it's almost impossible to complain when I focus on things like that.
Yeah, I think that's what I do. Like, if I catch myself complaining, you know, maybe not outwardly, nobody sees me complaining, but inside my head, you know, in my brain, there's some thought that's just running, and I'm like chasing after it. Stop, 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 stop. And like, it's complaining, and I catch it, and I say, wait. Yeah, I like just as something as simple as I am grateful that I could go into my fridge and put a glass up to it and clean water comes out. And, you know, there's somebody somewhere that's paying for that. And it's just being grateful for those little things, you know. It's definitely a very powerful message. So, Michael, can you talk about this most recent book that you just had out? I definitely want to hear more about it.
Okay, I just released a book, I think, this past Saturday, called The Gym of Life.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yes, sir. And I've noticed that how powerful my transformations have been is because I've made life a lot simpler. I've taken things that I've already known and I've maybe applied a metaphor or used some kind of story. So when a situation that's similar to it again comes up in the future, I'll just have that as a reference. And I'm a very avid gym goer. A lot of my friends are. And I've just, every time I'm in the gym, I'm always thinking, how can I use this to better someone's life? You know, somebody that loves the gym, how can I apply it to their confidence to maybe have them go, you know, create their own business or develop higher integrity, character, things like that. And I would always just store it in my phone. And it got to a point where I had like 50, 60 different stories and ideas. And then a light bulb went off and I thought, well, how about I just make a book just on gym metaphors and stories to apply to people that are really into fitness, nutrition, to apply it to something larger, something a lot bigger, like their self-esteem, their confidence, so that they can improve their strength training across the board to be a better professional, to improve themselves personally and spiritually.
What are some of those key things that somebody should be focusing on, like when they finally recognize how important exercise is? You know, what are some of these things that you do that really it keeps you on point, so that you know when New Year's comes around, you're like, all right, time to get back in the gym. You don't fall off by February 1st.
Well, some things are like, for example, I looked at form. The form you use in your gym is like your integrity in life. I mean, as long as you're focusing on slow, controlled reps, maybe you're not doing a whole lot of weight at first, but you're not going to get injured and you're going to be strengthening the muscle the way it should be. You're not going to injure yourself. So that's like a chapter. And then, you know, for another thing was how a lot of guys tend to favor the upper body and they neglect the legs and get chicken legs. And I looked at that, like, in life, is that we do all the things that are very easy to us, things that we enjoy, like watch TV, eat junk food, you know, just relax. But a lot of times, to become really built in life, we got to do the things that we don't enjoy. So working your legs could represent getting up and exercising, or, you know, reading a personal development book, or going back to school. Things that are a little painful, things that probably aren't going to show off. We can't show off immediately, or you know, really can show off in period, because it's going to be within us. But if we really want to build ourselves up, we got to focus on those things too, to be built proportionally.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And again, it's the gym of life. Awesome, man. I'm looking forward to reading it. That sounds really good. I like the analogy ideas. That first one is powerful. You mentioned about connecting it to, you know, integrity, taking those small steps. You know, those small steps can be to building character too. You know, we think about just like having amazing new character in our life overnight, but it's the small steps.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of close friends. I've tried to share my messages with them, and it just seemed to not really spark an interest the way I wanted it to. And then I just focus on, well, what are they like? Like, well, they're definitely into the gym. Like, I think if I make it gym related, you know, they'll light up and they'll love it. And once I started sharing a couple of them, I just loved the response I was getting. And I was just thinking, well, a lot of young guys go to the gym. They're wanting to look good for the ladies. And maybe I can share these things to apply it to something larger so they can get even more out of life.
That's awesome. And Mike, I can hear it, you know, in your voice and just the sincerity that, you know, that's what you're looking to do, is really just impact people's lives. Cause you've seen the change in your own life, and, you know, I feel similar to you. It's just, you just want to, that's what keeps you up at night, is finding ways to share this, and not in ways that is intrusive to people. You know, you're finding ways that when people are ready, you know, you're kind of being a beacon of light on, you know, a city on a hill, a beacon of light from top of a mountain shining down. And hoping that people will, they find it. You know, you're not looking to just like run up to somebody and say, you have to change. You're looking to just be that change, you know, as Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. And that's what you're doing, man. So I'm gonna ask you one last question. If you were suddenly at the end of your life and reflecting on all that you've been through and all that you've created, what kind of impact would you want to be remembered for?
Just simply to inspire people to be better, to do better, and to live better. That was a stone that my mom gave me, actually, because she was pretty negative. She worried about a lot of things, and I just made a mission. One of my personal missions was to change her life, to kind of have the transformation that I had. And I just worked so hard with her, and I gave her all the CDs I was listening to, and just sharing all the advice my teacher gave me, and everything I could do to make her life better. And she moved away, and I just remember going to the mailbox and getting that letter that had Inspire Stone. And she wrote that simple, that little note that you inspire me to be better, to do better, and to live better. And then I've carried that stone with me, and I look at it in the morning, and it just drives me to become an author when I don't have any writing skill, to speak when I've actually not spoken to people in like over a decade, to just constantly face my fears and bring out the best in people. So that's it.
Michael, you got me in tears over here, man. Thank you so much, man. I'm really inspired by your positivity, and I'm blessed, man, that you reached out to me, because I'm honored that I got an opportunity to speak with you, because, you know, you're really going to be a force in this world, man. And it's just awesome that I had this opportunity to have this moment with you and have this rapport and have this conversation and to have you share these personal stories with my audience. So thank you.
Yeah, it's an honor for me to be on the show, and I'm blessed that you had me on. Thank you so much, Tom.
Absolutely. Mike, what's the best way for anybody listening for them to reach out to you?
I have a website, michaelunks.com, and I've actually put all my audiobooks on there for free.
That's awesome.
So feel free to get all the ones you want. You know, I'm just looking to give, like I talk about.
That's awesome. And everybody listening is well aware they could find everything that we mentioned in today's episode by going to positivityeffect.com and just putting your name right in the search bar. Michael, thank you so much. You've been so generous, seriously, with your time and your story and your energy. Like, I woke up today kind of like having one of those days, like in my mind. And this chat has really, really been powerful for me. And it's really, it's given me a little something that I needed today. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Take care. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.